From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in. Sitka's marine haulout at the Gary Paxson Industrial Park has been operating for 2 months, but it's unclear how uninsured boats will be able to use the facility. At a park board meeting on Thursday, Park Director Gary White said city staff have been looking to answer that question.
And then there was a question about insurance, you know, how we can figure out to modify some of these insurance requirements potentially to satisfy some of the boats that can't. Insurance.
White said he'd been researching and reaching out to multiple carriers looking for specialty insurance. He said another possibility for hull coverage is an insurance pool.
We're also looking at potentially finding a way for the city and borough to set up an insurance pool with people paying a higher rate to get hauled, and then that money goes into a pool of money that pays for premiums. Of course, all this has to be approved by you guys and ultimately the assembly, but We are looking at it.
Board member Lauren Howard said she is currently working with a fisherman with an uninsured wooden boat to apply for temporary insurance through USI, a national insurance provider, and said she'd keep the board updated on whether their application was successful. In a previous meeting, Howard had voiced concern about how boats without insurance, including many in Sitka's troll fleet, would get hauled out for repairs. On Thursday, she hoped they were zeroing in on a solution.
I'm just hopeful that this could go somewhere, and if it doesn't, then I'll definitely come back and put some more pressure on the city.
Also at the meeting, the board gave more direction to city staff on a permitting process to move big commercial vessels across the yard and discussed amending a lease between the city and Pacific Jewel Marine. Mark Wheeler has worn a lot of hats in Juneau, from serving on the Juneau Assembly to founding a beloved Juneau coffee shop to working with youth at Big Brothers Big Sisters of Alaska. He's no stranger to public service. Now he's taken on a role as the city's new Parks and Recreation Director. His first day on the job was November 3rd, and he comes at a tough time as the city is facing potential budget cuts following this year's local election. KTOO's Mike Lane recently sat down with Wheeler and talked about potential changes to Parks and Rec services.
As everybody knows, the city's facing some potential big budget cuts following the results of the recent local election. And how is that going to impact Parks and Recreation? Do you have that insight yet?
Yeah, we don't exactly know yet. We're still getting some direction from the city manager's office, and then also it'll be up to the assembly in the end. But I think at this point it's pretty clear that we're going to have to reduce services or increase fees or both. The magnitude of the impact of the initiatives is great, and it's really affecting our operating funds for the community. And, you know, Parks and Rec is a big part of the budget, so I'm assuming we'll have some real direct impacts that the public is going to feel.
Okay, yeah, that kind of covers my next question of what changes will Juneau residents see. And there is the possibility of rate hikes and that sort of a thing.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to look at both revenues and expenses to meet the budget. Just coming from the private sector, you know, you might expect that, oh, there's going to be, you know, well, it's a lean organization, and there's not a lot of places to cut that are going to be easy. So it's going to have a lot of hard decisions. It's ultimately up to the assembly, but the community really, we hope the community will be really involved in that process and really give some good direction to the assembly.
Okay, and how are you going to balance the community expectations with the financial constraints that we know are there?
Yeah, it's going to be a balancing act, and it, you know, we really want to serve the public as much as we can with Parks and Rec, and that's our mission, is to really, you know, provide a great service to the community. So I think we're going to have to get creative, but also the community is going to need to get involved and prioritize what they want to see from us.
Immediately, if I think Parks and Recreation, I immediately go to the swimming pool, to softball, to different organized sports, but it's more than that. How many different areas does Park and Rec cover? How many facilities?
Yeah, so it's Parks and Rec not only does the parks, the trails, our facilities, our recreation facilities, the youth sports. We operate a youth shelter I don't think many people know about. It's Shea'i Hot Hit. It's the Spruce Root House. And it's a place where teens that are experiencing homelessness can come and find shelter. So we're doing everything from that to, you know, hosting pickleball now at Floyd Dryden 3 times a week. But also Parks and Rec, we oversee building maintenance for all of the city's facilities. So it's, we have at least 44 city buildings. Wow. Around the borough. I don't think people know that, but, you know, we run buildings, you know, from the warehouse in Thame, where we have the cold weather shelter, to we have our IT department in an old NOAA building in Auk Bay, and we're servicing these buildings with our city staff.
It's a lot of facilities.
It's a lot of facilities. And then there's parks all over the place. We have parks, you know, there are, you know, 42 trails in Juneau that the city is involved with. So, and then we also manage the parking garages and the parking, some parking lots downtown. But yeah, we have some great hardworking staff. And I've been super impressed by the dedication and the heart and all the hard work that our staff is putting in.
Speaking of staff, how many staff are you responsible for?
Well, Parks and Rec is over 200 staff, but a lot of them are part-time or seasonal employees, and we have a lot of lifeguards working part-time, and it's over 90 FTEs, so there's a lot of part-time staff.
Okay. And what other big issues do you see your department facing as director of Parks and Recreation?
I think, you know, working with a smaller budget, trying to meet the needs in the community. I think it's our biggest challenge. But also, you know, supporting our workers. Like, I really want to highlight all the people that are, you know, behind the scenes making these services so valuable. Like, you know, people think, oh, it's just some abstract budget. Well, the budget, you know, most of our budget are people that are working in the city. Those are your friends and neighbors, and they're working hard. And, you know, they're, you know, like, you know, from our shelter staff, we're working like 24/7 in the youth shelter I mentioned, to, you know, our landscape crew who are like responding to downed trees that might be in people's yards. And, you know, those are your friends, those are your neighbors, and they really are important.
That was KTOO's Mike Lane speaking with the city's new Parks and Recreation Director, Mark Wheeler. And you're listening to Tonga's Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Akwan and beyond. Saitin Jamie Ann Hasselquist has been hosting weekly community soup nights this month in the Traditional Foods and Medicine Kitchen inside Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's new Indigenous Science Building in downtown Juneau. She and her team use traditional Tlingit foods to make soup for anyone who wants to try some, and maybe bring home the recipe to make themselves. Last week, the group prepared chili with beef, deer, and mountain goat meat.
Can you hear it sizzling? We have so many good things in here. Mm-hmm. We have gua con, deer, John Woo, mountain goat, and wasus, cow. Tlingit ke na tsehtun yuhat duasak. Yek na hat siti, de shitanaya hat. Yek sagi hitdach. My people come from Angoon and the Raven's Bones house, and my Tlingit name is Echtin. Most people know me by Jamie Ann. I think it's a really beautiful way to bring community together, especially in a time of need when like SNAP benefits have been delayed, or whatever it is, it's putting our families and members of our community into very stressful positions where they're having to make choices between food and whatever else is important. And so being able to provide a night where we can gather together and share a meal and just enjoy each other's company and show each other like we're not alone, that we're here to support each other, I think that's really important. There was a child who was in here, I think last week. They had never tried deer meat before, so it was their first time. They were probably 10 years old. And others, I never tried mountain goat before. You know, I've been cooking with it now. It cooks a lot like deer. And it tastes pretty similar to deer, but a little bit different. And then cow, you know, wasus, most of us know cow, but we don't know that it's called wasus in Tlingit. And so to share that part is kind of fun. I think it's really nice to be able to share these out with people in the community, because it should be a part of our regular diet. And because of, you know, harms that have happened, distances between relations of the earth
and us as people, and what we ate in our diets, what we use for plant medicines, there's been a huge disruption in that. And so to be able to bring it to into a dish like chili, to share it with everyone and have them try it, I hear things like, oh, I remember tasting this when I was a kid, or I've never had this in my entire life. So there's a wide range of emotions that go along with feeding this traditional food to our people. That animal, they had a life going on, and they give that life to be here. And so I will thank it for its life and its spirit still being with us through this process, and tell it the healing that it's bringing to the people, that some people have never tried you before. They don't know the taste. Some people, it's going to transport them back to when they were children, 30 years ago maybe. You know, some people think that they never were going to try this again. And it makes me emotional when I'm talking to them. But I also feel it's very appropriate, and it's something that has to be done to be able to respect the spirit of whatever that is that's here to help us learn, to help us return, to re-remember.
That was Sate Tin Jamie-Ann Hasselquist, who has been hosting weekly community soup workshops this month in the Traditional Foods and Medicine Kitchen at SHI. The last soup night is Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. You can register on SHI's Facebook page under events. And in Juneau right now, it's 32 degrees with fog. This is KTOO.